الله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. أما بعد، فإن أسدى الحديث كتاب الله تبارك وتعالى، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Today, inshallah, brothers, we're going to talk about a very important issue, and inshallah ta'ala, the benefit of talking about this issue, one of the main benefits is that from this particular subject, the Muslim will have the opportunity to see the ni'mah, or the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on us as an ummah, as well as on us as individuals. And the subject is concerning the khasa'is of al-Islam. And khasa'is is the plural word to the singular word in Arabic, khasifa, which means the special characteristics of al-Islam. Those characteristics of al-Islam that no other religion or no other way of life shares with the religion of al-Islam in those particular themes. So, during the duration of the talk, I'll be using the word khasifa. And this khasisa, as I said, is those special characteristics that are peculiar to al-Islam and al-Islam only. And as some of you may know, anytime we want to say that something is a special characteristic, it's khas, you know, they may say this ruling is especially for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or this ruling is especially for the men, or this ruling is especially for the women. The scholars of hadith, the scholars of fuqaha of al-Islam, they say that anytime you want to establish that something is specially for someone, then you have to have the proof of that thing. So we're going to support these khasa'is with proof from the Quran and proof from the Sunnah. And inshallah, there are other affairs that branch off from what we're going to talk about. We're going to mention those things inshallah in the hope that our information and these issues will increase. The first, and there are many, many khasifas. It's impossible for a sitting like this to probably get through three of them, or two maybe. We'll see what's going to happen. The first khasifa that is peculiar to al-Islam and no other religion, nor any other way of life shares in al-Islam in this particular characteristic, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made al-Islam muhaimin on the other ways of life. And the meaning of that is al-Islam reigns supreme over every other religion, over every other way of life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept any religion other than al-Islam. This is an important khasifa. The proof of that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. Verily the religion in the sight of Allah is al-Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another ayah in the Quran, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولُهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينَ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرُهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says in this ayah, it is He, Allah, the One, who has sent His messenger with al-huda, the guidance, meaning the Quran and the Sunnah, and the religion of truth, al-Islam, so that He will proclaim it over all other religions, even though the kuffar may detest it, even though the mushrik may detest it. Another ayah from the Quran in which we understand this khasifa is the ayah in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Al-yawma akhmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam ad-deen. On this day, I have completed for you your religion, and I have completed my favors upon you, and I have chosen al-Islam for you as a way of life. And there are many, many ayahs in the Quran concerning this point. As from the Sunnah, again, there are many, many hadith where we understand this khasifa. One of the most clear hadith is the incident that we all are well aware of, and that's the story of an Isra and Mi'raj. the story in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the house of the Sahabiya Ummu Hani, and he took him to Bayt al-Maqdis in Jerusalem. And from Bayt al-Maqdis in Jerusalem, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went up to the seventh heaven. And at each level he met a prophet from the Anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to the point that he went to the place where no one else can go, not even Jibreel. And he heard the writing of the pen. And then when he came back down to the Bayt al-Maqdis, he prayed with all of the prophets. He was the Imam. And he was the Imam of all of the prophets because his religion came to abrogate all the other religions that were sent before him. And there's an ayat in the Quran that points to this incident. And that ayat is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ النَّبِيِّينَ لَمَا آتَيْتُكُم مِّن كِتَابٍ وَحِكْمَةٍ ثُمَّ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا مَعَكُمْ لَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ وَلَتَنْصُرُنَّهُ قَالَ أَأَقْرَرْتُمْ وَأَخَذْتُمْ عَلَى ذَلِكُمْ إِصْرِي قَالُوا أَقْرَرْنَا قَالَ فَاشْهَدُوا وَأَنَا مَعَكُم مِّنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. Allah Tabarak wa ta'ala said in this ayah, and remember Muhammad and Ummah of Muhammad, remember when we took the covenant of all of the prophets from Nuh to Isa, when we took the covenant of all of the prophets, and Allah said, when I have given you the book and wisdom, and then there comes to you the messenger, you are to believe in him and you are to help him, assist him. Do you take this covenant upon yourself as being binding? They say, yes, we take it upon ourselves as being binding. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, then bear witness, for verily I am amongst you from those who bear witness. This ayah is very important because it proves the point that we were saying, that all of the prophets were waiting for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come. And they told their people that the Prophet was coming. As Ali ibn Abi Talib said, as Ibn Abbas said, in the tafsir of these ayahs, in the tafsir of Ibn Kathir. But there's something that I want you brothers to pay attention to here, and that is that this ayah is a very clear refutation against one of the deviant sects that have come into Islam. This a sect that we're going to have to deal with when we go back to our country, because you know that the kuffar were never able to defeat the Muslims on a consistent basis. You know, the harab, the war, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. But the majority of the time, the Muslims used to win. When Abu Sufyan went to Hercules, he was asking the Prophet some questions. He was asking the messenger of the Prophet some questions. He said, what happens when they have fights? He said, sometimes they win, sometimes they lose. And war is like that. But when the kuffar were able to interject in al-Islam those deviant ideas and foreign attitudes, this is when the Muslims begin to lose their rank of supremacy in the earth. So, this ayah is a clear refutation on the Sufis. The Sufis have a lot of things that they say and they believe in. One of the things that they say is, for an example, that Al-Khidr is here now. So whenever the Shaykh wants to make something halal that's haram, or whenever they want to do something, they say Al-Khidr came and he told us this. Or they'll say, when they come to their dhikr and they start doing it, they put a handkerchief down, they say either the Prophet comes or Al-Khidr comes. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly says in the Quran that he took a covenant for all the prophets. One of those prophets was Al-Khidr. That if the Prophet was to come, they are to believe in him and they are to help him. If Al-Khidr is here right now, where was Al-Khidr during the Battle of Badr? Where was Al-Khidr during the Battle of Uhud? Where was Al-Khidr during the times when the Mushrikeen were throwing the Prophet out of Mecca? So we know in the Battle of Badr, the Prophet ﷺ, when the Sakina came upon the Muslims and they went to sleep, the Prophet got up and he went and he made two rak'ahs to a tree, towards the tree as a sutra. And after making these two rak'ahs, he raised his hands up. And Abu Bakr witnessed it. And he said he exaggerated in raising his hands. And he said, Allahumma, in uhlikat hadhi asabatun min an-nas fa innaka lan tu'bad ala wajhi al-ard. Oh Allah, if this band of people, these Muslims, are defeated, are destroyed, you will not be worshipped on the face of the earth. We know the Prophet, when he talked, he said the haq, even when he was playing, even when he was joking, he said the haq. How can the Prophet make this statement? If this group of people were destroyed, could there be somewhere else on the face of the earth to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He's somewhere. So this ayat is a clear proof against those people. The next hadith that we want to deal with is another famous hadith that has been narrated by an Imam Ahmed in his Musnad, and it's an authentic hadith. The hadith when the Prophet ﷺ was sitting down and Umar ibn Khattab came and he had some parchments from the Torah. So the Prophet ﷺ said, "Oh Umar, what is that that you have?" He said, "I have some papers from the Torah, the Messenger of Allah." So the Prophet ﷺ became very angry. And he said, "Afi shakkin anti ya ibn al-Khattab? Are you in doubt? Oh Umar, oh son of Khattab? Inni ataytu biha naqiyin bayba, layluha kannahariha, la yuzigu anha illa halik. والذي نفسي بيده لو كان أخي موسى حيا ما وصي له إلى اتباعي." The Prophet ﷺ said, "Verily I have brought this thing, this religion, unadulterated. And I have brought it in this clear. And no one will leave it except he will be destroyed. I swear by he who has my soul is in. If my brother Musa was here, he will have no choice except to follow me." So the religion of Musa is fabricated. And the last hadith we want to deal with is the hadith that we all know about Isa ibn Maryam. Isa will make jihad. He didn't make jihad with Bani Israel. He'll make jihad with the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Isa will take the jizya. The jizya is from Islam. Isa will pray according to the way the Prophet prays. When he comes down, the Mahdi will be praying. And then he'll notice Isa. And when he notices Isa, he'll say, "Ta'al, salli bina. Come and pray with us." Isa would say, "Imamukum ba'dukum ala ba'd umara, takramu Allah ala hadhihi al-ummah." He would say, "You people from this ummah are imams over yourselves. And this is the honor that Allah has given this ummah." And another hadith that the Prophet told us about in Sahih Muslim, he said, "Walladhi nafsi biyadihi, layuhallan ibn Maryam, bifajr rawha, hajin aw mu'tamiran aw layusalliyan nabuma." The Prophet said, "I swear by he whose hands my soul is in. Isa, the son of Mary, is going to come from a place called Ar-Rawha, which is a place between Medina and Mecca. He will put on his ihram, he will assume the state of ihram at this place. Or he's going to make Hajj or Umrah, or he's going to make both of them." So we understand from this, ikhwan, clearly, that Isa, who's one of the Ulul Azam, one of the main five prophets, Nuh, Ibrahim, Musa, Isa, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he comes back, he has to do the things of this religion. So that's the first khasisa. The second khasisa, and it's a very important khasisa, especially for young brothers who have the habit of going overboard, either too far to the right or too far to the left, and that is al-wasafiyya. The religion of Al-Islam is down the middle course. The Prophet brought a religion, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is not too far to the right or too far to the left in any affair. The proof of that, many. One of the ayahs in the Quran, or one of the proofs of that, is the ayah in the Quran in which Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, "وَكَذَلِكْ جَعَلْنَكُمْ أُمَّةٍ وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدًا وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا." And for that reason, we have made you an ummah that is down the middle, so that you may be witnesses over the people, and that the Prophet may be witnesses over you. Before explaining this wasafiyya, it's important to note that this ayah consists of two khasisas, al-wasafiyya, the middle course, and also the shahada. This ummah has been given the shahada. What's the meaning of the shahada here? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in an authentic hadith. He said, "Yuda'a Nuh yawm al-qiyama wa yuqalu lahu, hal balagt yakun na'am wa rabbi al-ka'ba. Thumma yuda'a qawmuhu fa yuqal, hal balagakum Nuh fa yaquluna la wa rabbi al-ka'ba." Nuh will be summoned yawm al-qiyama. And he will be asked, "Did you relay the message?" He say, "Yes, I swear by the Lord of the Kaaba." Then the people of Nuh will be called. And they will be asked, "Did Nuh relay the message?" They say, "No, we swear by the Lord of the Kaaba." So Nuh will be asked, "What's your proof that you relay the message?" He will say, "Muhammad wa ummatuhu." Muhammad and his ummah. Then the ummah of Muhammad will come and bear witness. "Naam, Nuh relay the message. and his people, Isa relayed the message and his people fooled all of them. How do we know that? Kitab Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenged the kuffar over 1,415 years ago to come with one ayat like unto it. And we still have this challenge remaining to today. A book there's no doubt from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in the Quran what happened to them. And if anyone wants to know how to give da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the right way, then let him read Surah An-Nur. Let him read how this man was with his people in giving them da'wah. So, in the hadith of the famous hadith that you all know about, that's been narrated or collected by Imam al-Bukhari, there were three young Muslims, Sahabas, who went to the Prophet's wives. They said, let us go to the Prophet's wives to ask them about the Prophet at home, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they went. So their wives, his wives proceeded to tell them how he was. After leaving, one said, what are we compared to the Messenger of Allah? Who are we? We're nothing. So one said, as for me, I'm going to pray and I'll never sleep. I'll make tahajjud all night long. The other one said, as for me, I'm going to fast and I'll never break my fast. The third one said, as for me, I'll never marry women. So when this information came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to the people, مَا بَالُ أَقْوَانُ يَقُولُونَ كَذَا وَكَذَا وَكَذَا وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي أَتْقَاكُمْ لِلَّهِ وَأَخْشَاكُمْ لِلَّهِ وَإِنِّي أُصُومُ وَأَفْطِرُ وَأُصَلِّي وَأَنَامُ وَتَزَوَّجُ النِّسَاءِ فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. The Prophet said, what is wrong with some people? He didn't say, what's wrong with Abdullah and Muhammad and Ihsan? He didn't say that. He didn't want to expose the people because Nasiha is given behind closed doors. Nasiha is given, advice is given. When you want Wajhullah, when you want a person to really come to the haq, it should be given behind closed doors. Unless the fitna is in general to the people and you have the power to give the nasiha and you're going to get the best results in that. But that's a different issue altogether. Anyway, the Prophet ﷺ said, as for me, I fast and I break my fast. I sleep and I pray and I marry women. So whoever intentionally rejects and leaves my sunnah, he is not for me. So we're down the middle. When we look at the Jews and the Christians, the Jews, when they used to make their sins, there were certain sins that they made, the only way that they could make tawbah was to kill themselves. Allah put that on them. They had to slaughter themselves. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, with قَالَ مُوسَ لِقَوْمِهِ يَا قَوْمِ إِنَّكُمْ ظَلَمْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ بِاتِّخَاذِكُمْ الْعِجْلَ فَتُوبُوا إِلَى بَارِكُمْ فَاقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ عِنْدَ بَارِئِكُمْ فَيَتُوبُ عَلَيْكُمْ إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. And remember, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Ummah Muhammad, when Musa said to his people, oh my people, verily you have wronged yourselves, you have oppressed yourselves with the taking of the calf as worship. You have wronged yourselves. So make tawbah to your Creator and slaughter yourselves. This is better for you in the sight of your Creator. And He'll forgive you. Verily He is the all-forgiving, the most merciful. We look at the Christian. The Christian, he goes to the confession. He pays $10, $15, $20. And he confesses to the priest what he did, and he's forgiven. So this is one extreme, and the other one is another extreme. As for our religion, the person wants to make tawbah, he's sorry for what he did, he recognizes that he did something evil, he leaves it alone, he doesn't go back to it, and if he's taken something from someone, he returns that thing. That's the tawbah in the Islam. Another example of this is the food. Allah Ta'ala tells in the Quran, all of this food was haram on Bani Israel, on the Yahud, because of their holiness. Too many ayahs, Allah tells us that their food was haram. Then we find the Jews, the Christians, on the other hand, everything is halal for them. Wine, whiskey, pork, everything is halal for them. So the religion of Islam has come with what's known as al-wasatiyya. The third khasisa, and it's a very, very important khasisa, is the fact that The Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the shortest Ummah in terms of its lifespan, as an Ummah, as well as an individual. We know that Allah tells us that Nuh, for an example, Allah says, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ فَلَبِثَ فِيهِمْ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ إِلَّا خَمْسَ سِنِينَ. Verily we sent Nuh to his people, and he was with them, he stayed with them for 1,000 years, except 50. He stayed with them for 950 years, calling them to La ilaha illallah. He didn't call them to jihad. He didn't call them to overthrowing the government. He didn't call them to anything other than La ilaha illallah. 950 years. And in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith that's been narrated by Al-Bukhari, he said, "Ukhsufina Ibrahim, wa huwa ibn 80 sana bil qudum." Ibrahim was circumcised and he was 80 years old with a, like an axe, like type of instrument. 80. He lived to be over 100 years old. The Sahaba, when they heard that Nuh lived this long, there was a hadith that's been narrated by Tirmidhi in which the Prophet ﷺ said, "Umru ummati bayna 16 aam ila 70." The lifespan of the people of my ummah is between 60 and 70 years. This is an authentic hadith in Tirmidhi. When the Sahabas heard this hadith, it was heavy on them. Because here you have Nuh living 950 years. Ibrahim living over 100 years. So they had all that opportunity to do good, to make salah, to do these good things. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, "Don't be sad, for inna lakum laylatul qadr." Verily you people have Laylatul Qadr. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, "Laylatul Qadr khayru min alfi shahr." The night of power is better than 1,000 months. If we were to calculate 1,000 months, they come out to 82, 83 years. So for the person who's been a Muslim for 10 years, and he stood up Laylatul Qadr 10 times, that's 800 years of worship. That's why you brothers, when you go to Mecca, don't let shaitan fool you by saying, Laylatul Qadr is the 27th of Ramadan. So the 1st, 3rd, 5th, 7th, 9th, 11th, I'm just going to waste my time. Don't let shaitan come to you and make you eat a lot for futur. And then when it's time for salah, you're too tired, you go to sleep. 10 Ramadan, 10 Laylatul Qadr, 800 years. Anyway, this khasisa is clearly demonstrated in the hadith that's been collected by Al-Imam al-Bukhari. And just to digress a little bit, just let me say that a lot of people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not blessed with basira in the religion, they accuse the people of Ahl al-Hadith of being people who didn't know about fiqh. Just a group of people who narrate hadith, but they don't know the fiqh of the hadith. This is kadhib murakkib. Lying on top of lies. As Imam Ahmed said, "من كان علمه بالحديث أكثر فقياسه أفضل." The person who knows more about hadith, the knowledge of hadith, his qiyas and his ability to give you the right hukum, a fatwa, is better than everyone else. Don't think you're going to find a person who's reading some newspapers or listening to some radio program or watching TV. Don't think you're going to get a better hukum than that brother. You're going to get a better fatwa, closer fatwa to the haq than the person who knows Kitab Allah and the hadith of the Prophet. The proof of that is look at the Ahlul Hadith of the past. Al-Imam al-Bukhari will take one hadith like this hadith that I'm going to mention and put it in 8 different places of his book. When we look at the places that he put in his book, we realize the fiqh of the man. This hadith, he put it in the book of Mawaqif al-Salah, the times of the Salah. In the Kitab al-Ijar, or Ijar, the book of renting. He put it in Munafiq, the book of the virtues of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He put it in the Kitab al-Tawheed. He put this hadith in the Kitab al-Khasm, in the Kitab al-Anbiya. The hadith is the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّمَا مَثَلُكُمْ وَمَثَلُ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابَيْنِ كَمَثَلِ الرَّجُلِ اسْتَأْجَرَ أُجْرًا فَقَالَ مَنْ يَعْمَلْ لِي مِنْ غُدُوَّةٍ إِلَى نِصْفِ النَّهَارِ عَلَى قِيرَانٍ.
قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فعملت اليهود ثم قال ومن يعمل لي من نصف النهار إلى صلاة العصر على قيراط قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فعملت النصارى ثم قال ومن يعمل لي من العصر إلا أن تغيب الشمس على قيراطين قيراطين قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأنتم هم فغضبت اليهود والنصارى وقالوا ما بالنا أكثر عملا وأقل عطاء قال الرجل هل نقصتكم من حقكم شيئا قالوا لا قال إذن ذلك فضلي أوتيه من أشاء This hadith, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said Verily the example of you people, this ummah and the example of the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians is like the example of a man who hired a bunch of workers. And he said to those workers, who will work for me from Salatul Fajr, from Fajr time up until midnoon, up until Zuhr time, for one qirat? A qirat is a form of measurement. It's a form of measurement. So the Prophet said, the Jews worked for that time. Then the man said, who will work for me from the midnoon time, from Zuhr to Salatul Asr? For one qirat. The Prophet said, the Christians agreed to work that time. Then the man said, and who will work for me? From Salat al-Asr until the time the sun set. For two qirat. He said, you people are those people. So the Jews and the Christians became angry. And they said, what's the problem? What's wrong with us? We do the most work, but we get the least award. The least reward. The man said, that he said, have I oppressed you? Have I prevented you from your house? They said, no. Because he said, who will work for me? They agreed. He gave them their money. They said, no, you didn't oppress us. He said, then that's my bounty. I give it to whoever I want. We need to realize that the Prophet, one of the hadiths of the Prophet, one of the special characteristics of the Prophet, not the Ummah, is that the Prophet has been given something that's known as Jawam al-Kalim. The ability to say something that's small in terms of the amount of words, but it's far and it's vast and it's mean. And this is an example of that. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if anyone wants to know how to be a good husband, let him look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anybody wants to know how to be a good companion to a brother, let him look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If anyone wants to know how to be a good teacher, let him look at the Prophet. Here the Prophet is teaching us. And he's showing us one of the sunnahs of teaching the people. And that sunnah is by giving examples to the people where they can understand. Some of us bring issues to the people who are ignorant. Ignorant. Wallahi, the man may not know that he should cut his hair on his private part, or under his arm, or his nails. He may not know that. But you're going to teach him about Dar Harb. You're going to teach him about the establishment of the Khilafah? Nah, that's part of Al-Islam, no doubt, and they're important. But the Salaf of this Ummah, the Ulama of this Ummah, what they used to do is they used to teach the people the small knowledge first, and then deal with the big knowledge. So here the Prophet is giving the people an example. And he gave them this example. So let us look at the example. Salatul Fajr comes in now at 5 o'clock. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 7 hours the Jews worked. 7 hours. Salatul Zuhr comes in 12 o'clock. 1, 2, 3, 15. Huh? When is Asr here in Medina? I've been gone so long, I hate 3:20. 3 hours and a quarter. From 3:15 to what time is Maghrib? That's 2.5 hours. The Jews, 7 hours. The Christians work 3 hours and some. And the Ummah Muhammad, according to the Hadith, this example, 2.5 hours. When we look at Bani Israel, Ikhwan, let me just say, you all know that Ibrahim, he had 2 sons, Ismail and Ishaq. Ishaq had a son by the name of Ya'qub. This Ya'qub is Israel. In one of the books of the Bible, I was reading in the book that one of the sheikhs, the wakil of Kuliyat al-Dawah, put together, it's called Mashabaha, Bain al-Yahud wa Shi'at, the similarities between the Jews and the Christians. There's a book, the Shi'ites and the Christians, there's a book from the Torah that they have, from the Bible, in which it says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-Malik al-Quddus, al-Salam, al-Mu'min, al-Aziz, al-Qahar, al-Wahid, al-Azim, he had a wrestling match with Yaqub. And when Allah was afraid that Fajr time was going to come out, he gave up. Istaslama. So he said to Yaqub, Masmuka. He said, my name is Yaqub. He said, what's your name? He said, Yaqub. He said, from today on you will be known as Israel. Because you wrestled the people and you defeated them, and you wrestled Allah and you defeated them. What kind of God is that? What kind of ilah is that? What kind of ilah is that? So this Israel is synonymous with Bani Yaqub. One and the same person. Bani Israel, Bani Yaqub. Yaqub had a son, 12 sons. One of those sons was Yusuf, the Nabi of Allah. And Benjamin. These 7 hours that the Jews worked, why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed the Jews with a lot of prophets. Sometimes they had one prophet amongst them, sometimes two prophets amongst them at the same time, sometimes three prophets amongst them at the same time. But in spite of that, they tried to kill them. In spite of that, they rejected. In spite of that. So the question is, why do the Muslims think that there's some salam with the Jews? How? How can you be fooled into thinking that? From the Anbiya, from the prophets of Bani Israel, of course, Israel, Yaqub. His son, Yusuf. After that, Ilyas, Ayyub, Yunus. As Ibn Kathir said, these men were from Bani Israel. Talut, Dawud, his son Sulaiman, Musa, Harun, Yusha, or Joshua. Joshua was the one who was with Musa, as the authentic narration in Bukhari says, when he went to look for Khidr. Isa, Yahya, Zachariah. All these prophets were from Bani Israel. And Isa was the only one from the Nasara, that's why their time is less than the other people's time. And of course the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to this Ummah. But there's just a point that I want to mention to you brothers about the Jews of life. And that is, that can you imagine when we look at our Sahabas, the Sahabas of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and you read about how they were with the Prophet. Abu Huraira didn't work so that he can be with the Prophet and get his hadith. He could have went and got a job if he wanted to, like everyone else. But he wanted to be with the Prophet to the point that he used to be so hungry that he would be on the ground, lose consciousness, and people would come and put their feet on his neck thinking he was Majnoon. But he saved a large portion of the Sunnah for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. These people were really harisim, you know, I'm being with the Prophet, getting the knowledge from the Prophet. And he's only one. What about if you have Harun and Musa there at the same time? If you can't go to Harun, go to Musa. You can't go to Dawud, go to Sulaiman, like the two women did when the wolf came and ate one of their babies and ran away. Dawud said, okay, it's the one who has the baby, it's us. He got the Dalil in our hand. Then when they were leaving, they saw Sulaiman, they explained the situation, he said, okay, give me a knife. I cut the baby in two halves. The one who was the mother said, no, don't cut my baby. Don't cut the baby, she can have it. The other one said, okay, I agree with that. So she gave the baby to the one who was the real mother. So here these people had all these prophets and they still acted like that. There's an ayah in the Quran and the incident that I want to talk about. And after this, we'll answer some questions. And that is, you all know the incident, the Islam of Abdullah ibn Salam, who was a Jew. He came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, O Messenger of Allah, he said, O Muhammad, I'm going to ask you 3 questions that only a prophet would know. Do you answer these questions or accept Islam? He said, okay, ask them. He said, what is the sign of the Prophet? He said, his eyes sleep, but his heart doesn't sleep. He said, what would be the first food that the people of Jannah would eat, partake in? He said, the liver of some fish will be the first food that the people of Jannah would eat. He said, okay, the last question. Who brings you the revelation? He said, Jibreel. He said, oh, Jibreel, if you would have said Mikael, I would have believed you. Jibreel is our enemy. Then Allah Ta'ala revealed the ayat, من كان عدو لجبريل ومكائيل فإن من كان عدو لجبريل فإنه نزله على whoever is an enemy to Jibreel, you know this ayat is Surah Al-Baqarah, I don't remember, Abu Ihsan. Anyway, this ayat is easy to go back to it. So he said, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. He said, Muhammad, O Rasulullah. Verily, Al-Yahud come buhut. Buhtan. Buhut. Verily, the Yahud are some slanderous people. So I want you to summon them. And I'm going to hide over here. And I want you to make my Islam known to them. So the Prophet called them. He said, oh, people, the Jews, what do you think about Abdullah ibn Salam? They said, خيرنا وابن خيرنا وسيدنا وابن سيدنا. He is the best of us and the son of the best of us. And he's our master and the son of our master. He said, what do you think if he accepted Islam? He said, أعاذه الله من ذلك. May Allah protect him from that. So he came out of the where he was at and he said, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. Wallahi, with no delil, with no anything else, they said, شَرُّنَا وَبْنُ شَرِّنَا. He's the worst of us, and the son of the worst of us. That quick, Ahi. How are we going to have salam with these people, Ahi? Wallahi, how are we going to have salam? Not no salam with these people. The second incident is an ayah from the Quran, and this is the end of the dark. That's the ayah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ حَاجَّكَ فِيهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعَلْمِ فَقُولْ تَعَالُوا نَدُؤُوا أَبْنَاءَنَا وَأَبْنَاءَكُمْ وَنِسَاءَنَا وَنِسَاءَكُمْ وَأَنفُسَنَا وَأَنفُسَكُمْ ثُمَّ نَبْتَهُ فَلَجْعَلْ لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَاذِبِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet, say unto them, he said, if anyone, Allah says, if anyone from the Jews and the Christians, if any of them disagree with you after the knowledge has come to you, then say to them, come, let us bring our sons and your sons, and our women and your women, and ourselves and yourselves, and then let us earnestly invoke the curse of Allah upon the liars. The Prophet was asra'an nas intisalan bi amrillah. If there was an ayah that came down, the Prophet was quick in executing that order. Not like us today. So the Prophet, what he did was, he brought his daughter, Fatima al-Zahra, his grandson, Hassan and Hussein, and Ali was behind him. He brought them to the Jews. And he read this ayah because he wanted to make dua. The Jews said, la. They refused to make the dua because they knew Muhammad al-Rasulullah. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّهُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارُ هَمَا بَيْنُهُ. They knew this from the Torah, from the Injil. They knew that. So let us not be fooled, ikhwan, into thinking that there's some salam with the Yahud. That there's some salam. There's no salam with them. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم نسأل الله تبارك وتعالى التوفيق والسلام. If there are any questions, I think we have a few minutes to answer some questions. What?
It's the same
Khidr.
The same one?
Naam, it's the same Khidr who was with Musa.
So really, he was a prophet, right?
He was a prophet, but there is an opinion amongst the scholars as to whether he was a prophet or not a prophet. But it's my personal opinion that he was a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a number of reasons. One of those reasons is that the reason why the story took place in the first place was that the Bani Israel said, oh Musa, who's the most knowledgeable person on the earth? He said, Anna. He said, I'm the most knowledgeable. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, no, there's a servant of mine, more knowledgeable than you. So he went in search of him. And then when he found Khidr, Musa said, as the hadith said in Bukhari, As-salamu alaykum. And Khidr said, wa anna lana fi hadhi al-ard, as-salam. Then where do you get that salam in our, we don't know this salam. The Prophet said, من سلك طريقا يلتمس فيه علما سأل الله له به طريقا إلى الجنة. Whoever looks for a way, trying to get knowledge, trying to become knowledgeable in the religion, Allah will make easy for him as a result of that the way to Jannah. So don't think Shaitan comes to you and he says, oh, your family left, oh, you're occupied with. Be patient. But anyway, back to the point. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala tells us in this story about Khidr Musa. He says, فَوَجَدَ عَبْدٍ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا عَتَيْنَاهُ رَحْمَةٍ مِنْ عِنْدِنَا وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ عِلْمًا مِنْ لَدُنَّا. And Musa and Yusha, they found a servant from our servants who we have given him rahmah. And we taught him knowledge from ourselves. He was just a scholar, a good man. Where does knowledge come from? He's a Nabi of Anbiya of Allah. And another proof, and the last proof, so we can ask another question, is at the end of the story, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَأَمَّا that Khidr said to Musa, وَأَمَّا الْجِدَارِ فَكَانَ لِغُلَامَيْنِ يَتِيمَيْنِ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ وَكَانَ تَحْتُهُ كَنْزٌ لَهُمَا وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا فأراد ربك أن يبلغ أشدهما ويستخرج كنزا لهما وما فعلته عن أمري. As for the wall that I put up without getting any money for it, it belonged to two orphans from the city. And under it was the treasure of those two orphans. And their father was a righteous man. And your Lord wanted them to grow up so as to get their treasure. I did not do it for my own mind. I didn't do it. Where did he do it? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him. Things of the unseen. And you read the story, you know, just anyone who knows what he's saying. And Allah ta'ala a'lam. Khalil. Al-Imam Ahmed rahimahullah ta'ala, he said whoever's knowledge of Al-Hadith is the most, his ability to make qiyas, extrapolation, or knowledge is the best. Meaning his ability to arrive at the right conclusion on a particular issue, he may be wrong, but he's going to hit the mark more than the person who doesn't know about Hadith. Even if the person knew the Quran, the person memorized the Quran and didn't know a lot of hadith, and he was pitted against a person who knew a lot of hadith and the Quran, the one who knows the hadith is going to be more on the mark when it comes to this. And I just wanted to say that I have this book. It's called Juz'un Fil Hadith Ya Aba Umayr. This book, the famous scholar Qasimi wrote this book. It's called, it's dealing with the hadith, where the Prophet came to the little brother of Anas bin Malik and he said, Ya Aba Umayr, ماذا فعل النغير? This small hadith, that's all in the hadith. The man picked over 82 benefits you get from this hadith. 82. 82 benefits from this small word. That the ahadith al-ahad. It's the sunnah to visit your brother in al-Islam. So many hadith from this. So many fawa'id taqiyya. Benefits of fiqh from this small hadith. And he raised his book so to make a reputation on the people who make this statement. Silly people. Anas bin Malik, who was one of the Sahabas, one of the last Sahabas to die amongst the companions of the Prophet. Some say he was the last. He was for sure one of the last to die. The story of him and his mother, tremendous. Anyway, his mother's name is Sulaim. The Prophet ﷺ was sitting with his Sahabas like this, and he said, oh Anas, where's your brother? I haven't seen him in a while. From the Sunnah to ask when you miss your brother. How the Prophet used to do, the black woman who used to tweet the masjid, he'd say, where that woman at? Where's Islam? Then he went to the house. Sulaim gave him a rug to pray on. Permissible to pray on a rug. You don't have to pray on the hot ground, I can't even with the shed did. Prayed on a rug. Then he came to the boy, he said, Ya Aba Umayr, ماذا فعل النغير? He played with him. It's highly recommendable that a man plays with his family and prays with the younger Muslim. He said, oh, father of Umayr, called the little boy Abu Umayr. What did the Nughayr do? What did the little bird do that died? So it's from the Sunnah to give your little child a kunya. It's from the Sunnah for a man or a woman to take a kunya even though they're not married. even though they don't have children. Our mother Aisha Al-Kunya was Ummu Abdullah. So the Prophet gave this little boy a kunya, Abu Umayr. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.
Yeah, I want to ask you about the hadith that you mentioned about when the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the lifespan of the Ummah will be 60-70 years.
The hadith can be found in the book of At-Tirmidhi and it's authentic. He said, عمر أمتي بين 60 سنة إلى 70. عمر أمتي بين 60 سنة إلى 70. At-Tirmidhi. Authentic. Sheikh Nasir al-Din al-Albani also mentioned it in his book Jami al-Saghir. If you look under the beginning Ayn, Ayn, the beginning of Ayn, he'll tell you the other places that it's at.
I want you to explain it.
The meaning of the hadith is that the lifespan of every of the people of this ummah is between 60 and 70 years. So this is a ayat from Allah, al-burhan from Allah. We don't say mu'jiza. Mu'jiza means a miracle. But this comes from the Mustashriqun, this word Mu'jiza. Allah calls it an ayah in the Qur'an, in the Qur'an, in the Sunnah. So this is a sign from Allah that the Prophet ﷺ, Allah is Rasulullah. Bimada? Because this is from the knowledge of the unseen, that he can make this statement. We know the Prophet didn't make a census, a consensus, what do you call that?
A censor.
You know when you count the people?
Yeah, a census.
He didn't make that. And even if he did make a census, even if he did, he could have only did that with the people in the in this Khadij al-Arab, Jazirat al-Arab. He only could have did it here, it's a small area. But look at, we're Muslims from London, from Pakistan, from Bangladesh, from Britain, from America. So if we were to take all the Muslims, past and present, and we were to count at what age if they die, we'll find that on an average, the Muslims die between 60 and 70. If you find somebody going to 80, 85, 90, and so forth and so on, that's not the norm. According to this hadith. And we are people who say, listen, the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, whether we understand it or not, or whether we can fathom its implications or not, we're with the hadith. We're not like the people who say, I heard a person say, who's in charge, I'll say his name, Hassan al-Turabi, who's in charge of the government in Sudan. He said, the hadith that authentically collected by Bukhari and Muslim. Bukhari for sure, I'm not sure about Muslim. There's a hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said, if a fly falls into the drink of one of you, then immerse him in the drink. For verily in one wing is a disease and in the other wing is a cure. This man said, we can take this hadith and throw it on the ground and stomp it down because it doesn't go in accordance with the science of today. Because the fly is the dirtiest animal. He's always on defecation and a'udhu billah. I'm not saying he's a kafir, but that thing is kufr. Rasulullah said to you this, ما كان لمؤمن ولا لمؤمنة إذا قضى الله ورسوله أمرا أن يكون لهم الخير من أمرهم. Not be finished with believing that or believing one. If Allah and His Messenger have decreed a thing, have decided a thing, have any recourse, have any other say-so in that thing. Khalas, we take it. So, that's concerning this hadith. Jazakallah khair.
I wonder that 60-70 years.
What do you call those people they exaggerate like that, you know, undermine the hadith, you know?
I think we should leave that issue later on to deal with it so that someone won't take one statement and then run with it like that. Inshallah, we'll get the opportunity.
Does the hadith mean that the last person that died, the last sahabi that died,
Nah.
The end of that 60
years. Nah, why? Because, as I said, Anas bin Malik died, he was more than 100 years old. He was more than 100. But I'm saying, all of the Muslims, when they die, the average death of the Muslim is between 60 and 70 years.
Until
Yom Kiyam.
That's it. Just before
we start my... Shuf the case? Barakallahu feek.